spectacular, affordable, and professional music theater continues in the Lehigh Valley. Certainly at Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater, we will be talking with Dr. James Peck, the head of the theater department, on the summer theater offerings and a special arts and entertainment marketing class at Cedar Crest College. This is WDIY 88.1, and you are now permanently tuned in to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today, indeed, with Dr. James Peck, department head of the theater department at Muhlenberg, and with actors, professional actors, Kennedy Kanagawa, who plays Judas, and Dan Carey, who plays Jesus in, of course, Jesus Christ Music Store.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, that's the one, store. He's a store, too, if you really look at it. And then after the break, we'll be talking with Kevin Gallagher, who is a faculty member at Cedar Crest College, and he's going to be telling us about a new arts and entertainment marketing class that is available. So here we are. This is WDIY. Welcome.
Thanks, George. I'm really happy to be here, as always. And hi, Kate.
Hi, James. Could you tell now the fellows that are with you are actors here from Jesus Christ Superstar, the second piece or the second musical this summer. Tell us a little bit about the connections to Muhlenberg, their background, and we'll be talking with you guys as we go through the show.
Sure. Well, I'm sitting here with Dan Carey. Mm-hmm. Dan is playing Jesus. Both Kennedy and Dan are Muhlenberg graduates from several years back and have both been pursuing quite successfully their careers. Based out of New York City. Dan is primarily a musician. He's a rock musician, also a writer. He's working on developing a new musical that I have heard a reading of and is, I think, going to be quite extraordinary when he's got it finished and finds a producer lucky enough to be the first one to put it on. And Kennedy has been working as an actor, and I actually just came off a workshop with the great B.D. Wong of a new musical. It's a musical, right, Kennedy? Yeah, that's headed to the La Jolla Playhouse. And I've worked with both of these guys before. They were in the production of Tommy that I did with SMT a few years back. Kennedy actually played Tommy, the title role. And Dan was in the ensemble and was, so played a whole bunch of different parts. The sort of most noteworthy thing was that he killed Pinball Wizard at the top of the second act. And it's going to be great to hear them singing again and with this beautiful, beautiful score.
Well, Dan, it's interesting. We're talking as a rock musician. We were talking earlier that one of the things that, Jim, that you feel is distinctive about this particular production is we're going to find it's very rock driven. Could you talk a little bit about that, Dan, the difference between the usual sound we might hear and what we'll hear at this production?
Well, one wonderful thing about this score is that there are a lot of spaces where you can take liberties and you can go for those high notes and really and make it your own. And coming from a more rock background, it's nice to be able to find my own voice within this music because it's such a rockin' musical as is.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm really excited about when we get into the show, I love the score and I like both of the recordings that are out there very much. They sometimes get a little shrill and a little like high whaley to me. And Dan and Kennedy, they can both hit the high notes and they can both wail with the best of them. But there's also a kind of melodiousness about both of their voices and the way that they adorn and ornament the lines that is just glorious.
Well, it's interesting. I hadn't realized till we were talking how open to interpretation some of the music and the piece can be. I mean, perhaps more than your average musical. It's got a very different history and a very different journey to the stage.
Well, like we were talking about, Kate, it really didn't start as a musical for the stage. It started out as two guys in a, in a room somewhere in London writing a single. The very final number, Judas Comes Back after Jesus has died and sings this song, I want to know what this was all about. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of rock and soul ballad a la James Brown. Mm-hmm. They wrote that in order to hope that they would make enough money to support themselves to write the rest of the show, and it turned out it was a huge hit. So then it became an album, and the album did beautifully well, and then eventually, finally, it made its way onto the stage. But it really wasn't construed initially as a stage spectacle at all. So in some ways, it's like a song cycle, right? And part of what is fun, but also hard about trying to put it on the stage is coming up with a scenic logic to get you from one place to the next. We've been thinking of it as a series of like illuminated manuscripts where you sort of get one hard, intense, vivid image for each song that sort of sears itself into your retinas while that song goes. And then musically, often it really works by juxtaposition. That it doesn't sort of glide from one to the next. There are very sharp shifts of tone and feeling, and we're trying to support that scenically as well as in the choreography. I think people are really going to dig it. It's so powerful. We ran the first act the other night, and I can already see that it's going to be very, very special.
Well, and Charles Anderson is doing the choreography, and you were saying that it's a lot more dance-centric production,
yes.
Using dance a lot more of it. Interesting, because again, it made a journey from being really a song cycle, an album,
yes.
And now to kind of make it come physically alive.
What's
so intensely? So,
Charles is an extraordinary modern dance choreographer. Yeah. Who's African-American, and much of his choreography is rooted in Black vernacular dance as well as sort of tied back to Africanist movement idioms as well as sensibilities. And Charles has brought that sensibility to the work, which makes all kinds of sense because much of the work is rooted in funk and jazz and vernacular popular forms of the 1970s. Yeah. And so what it turns into is a scenic and dance and music spectacle that just washes over you. It's like we're trying to, in the way it looks and in the way it moves across the stage, match the grandeur of the music in a way that really, I hope, will lift the roof off of the theater. We keep saying we're going to raise the roof, we're going to raise the roof, and I think we're on the way to doing that.
Incidentally, is there and I'm sure you will, Kennedy, you're playing the role of Judas, of course.
Yes.
And is there a little leeway for a little bit of interpretation of, because we all know who Judas was.
Absolutely. Well, one of the great things about the piece, and I think that Jim is putting an excellent focus on, is the humanization of these kind of iconic, legendary characters that are, you know, one of the most famous stories in the world. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the symbolism, the things that they represent, kind of overshadow the fact that they were actually, you know, people that had real human desires and feelings. And Judas, instead of just kind of being this general wash of evil, kind of has this great side to him that shows he has, you know, his own personal intentions and maybe even is trying to do the right thing and obviously has really bad judgment. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a human attitude to it.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Very much so. And that's true of the depiction of Jesus, too, as well. We see Jesus, who is an extraordinary person and a charismatic leader, just as he is in the Bible and in Christian tradition. But we also see, and this is a little bit in the Bible, but they really lean into it, that we see him full of doubt. We see him exhausted. We see the toll that having being at the center of this movement has taken. We see him unable to cope and needing to take a step back from being the Messiah figure that people are seeing him as. And so we really do get the humanity of both characters. And they, you know, they kind of, if in some ways you think of Jesus as the epitome of good and Judas as the epitome of evil, right? Or that's what tradition has given us. This piece wants to push them closer together.
Good.
Right? I think we definitely still, in the end, the piece holds Judas responsible for his decisions and admires very much some of the things that Jesus does, right? But they crisscross in ways that are, to me, quite moving.
I think it's also has always struck me too. Even characters like Pilate. I mean, the little bit of time we get to, the time we get to spend with them is equally interestingly complex.
Yes, it
people
is.
Being aware of how hard the decisions in front of them are. That's kind of iconic, as you said, Kennedy's story that later on seems to be a fait accompli. Suddenly becomes something that's full of tension and full of like, what's the right thing to do and why should we be doing it? Is it wasted effort? And
in this version of the story, we really spend about an equal amount of time with Judas's point of view and with Jesus's point of view. Mm-hmm. And that in a way is the boldest move, I think, that they make in interpretively. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking about it as an alternate gospel story, right? I think it sort of believes in the importance of giving your life to something worth giving it to, and has a kind of moral rectitude about it. And in some ways, I guess, it departs from the canonical gospels in some very key ways, but I think it shares that sense of that this is a story that really matters and within which people can find a kind of compass to lead their lives. And so in the most expansive sense, I think it's a very religious piece.
And I think that sounds like an exciting, that take mixed with the energy you're talking about with the dance and the music.
Oh, yeah.
Should be really, I imagine it's going to be really powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Just the movement and like, it's the fact that it is rock and roll in the most awesome sense. It's just such a blast to do it. Also just to see it coming together. People are going to love it.
And the accompaniment's really traditional rock and roll, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the typical orchestration that people do was adapted for a more Broadway kind of sound. It's a 20-piece band, a lot of string, and we are not doing that. We have a 5-piece rock band. They actually, at Rodgers and Hammerstein owns the rights to this, and we have a former student who works there, and he had to go like dig through back files in order to find the stripped down orchestration, and he did that for us. And so, and we have a killer conductor, a man named Vince DeMura, who is a composer in residence at Princeton, and is a killer rock player, is the lead piano and is conducting, and I know a lot of the people who are playing, and it's some of the top rock musicians in the area. So I think it's really going to be a wild ride.
It's interesting, we should say, because we kind of jumped right in. Of course, this is the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater Festival, and what's currently running is Crazy for You, which has been getting great reviews, great buzz. It's another high-energy, big dance kind of piece.
Yep.
It's this interesting kind of mix. Could you talk just for a real quick moment about that choice of putting Crazy for You with Jesus Christ Superstar in the season?
Sure. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, it was Charlie's choice, not mine. Okay. So I'm speculating, right, rather than really being able to speak with authority. Say it's a beautiful production of Crazy for You. I saw it Saturday night, Gershwin musical. Mm-hmm. Frankie Grande, who's another graduate and has worked steadily on Broadway and is a bit of a television personality as well, is back to play the leading role. And it's very splashy. It's a fantastic tap musical. And
Tap comes back to theater. Right?
Yeah, and they cast for the dancers. And so, I mean, not to take away from the singing, it sounds great, but the dancing is eye-popping. And, you know, I think that we're kind of catching the spectrum of musical theater with this season. There's nothing deeper in the groove of the American musical theater than Gershwin, right?
Yeah.
This is one of the authors upon whom the genre is built and rests. And it's a toe-tap and good time, right? It's kind of a, hey, gang, let's put on a show, Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney type story.
Yeah.
And with some of the most beautiful lyrical, like harmonically complex and sophisticated music that's ever been written for the theater. And then, you know, we're catching Jesus Christ Superstar, which in many ways starts sort of the next wave of musical theater, right? Mm-hmm. It's a kind of founding shot of the rock musical and, you know, that pop rock sound, which is also, you know, now come to occupy a kind of equally authoritative and vital place in the genre. So, I don't know, I guess I'm making this up as I speak,
but it's
sort of like we're really catching the the origins of the form this summer.
And when does Superstar open? What's the run?
We open on July 10th.
Okay.
And we run through the month of July.
Okay.
It runs Wednesday through Sunday, Wednesday through Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and 3 weekends.
All right. And just to let folks know, of course, muhlenberg.edu/SMT for Summer Music Theater Festival. Tickets, information, anything they need is right there online.
Absolutely.
And which theater is this in?
Superstar is going to be in the MP.
Okay.
And Crazy for You is in the Baker. Okay. And there's one more weekend for Crazy for You.
Yeah.
And there are. It's selling really well, so mm-hmm. get your tickets now. But it is. The shows have been selling out, but there are seats available for all shows.
Okay. Yes, of course. Kennedy is an Equity actor, and but more importantly is that Kennedy and Dan are graduates of Muhlenberg. Where are you from originally, Kennedy?
I'm actually was born in Tokyo in Japan, lived there till I was around 10, and then my family moved to Virginia.
Yeah. And what brought you to Muhlenberg, the music theater, program. the theater department?
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine who was a year older than me was a freshman at Muhlenberg, and I had actually never heard of the school, and I went to visit her when I was a senior in high school, and I just instantly fell in love with the school, and when I did a little more research on the program, and I saw how highly rated it was, and what a good department it was, and how strong it was, I had to go.
Mm.
So
great.
It was my first choice.
Dan, where are you from?
I'm actually from Rockland County, New York.
Oh, that's far away from
so
here.
So far away.
And what brought you to Muhlenberg?
Well, that's a great question. Definitely the theater program. I really liked what I saw, and I got to sit in on some classes and was blown away. I sat in a couple of other schools and got to see how they worked. And just the way that I believe it was a professor named Devin Allen who just blew me away.
Yes.
With the way that she was working through a scene with the students and just the way the students were reacting to her. They really had a voice in what they were doing. And and it was one of those moments where I left that class and my dad was waiting outside for me and I said, I'm going to go here.
Really? How does it feel to be back?
It's wonderful. It's
not the first time. But
it's kind of crazy because you're... Everything is so familiar and yet completely different. You're looking at everything from such a different perspective than when you were a student here. It's
a lot of nostalgia.
A little crazy. Yeah, so much. We're just walking across campus and pointing to all these random spots and just recalling all the different crazy things that happened while we were students here. It's been really fun.
It's wonderful. I noticed that a lot of the Muhlenberg alum are back so often and clearly feel strongly about the program. And we just wanted to mention, because of course this music summer theater mixes professionals and students, etc., but it's still such a compliment to the program, you know. So thank you guys for being here.
Yes, thank you. We'll remind our listeners again, please, that Crazy for You is running until June the 30th. So if you have not gotten an opportunity to see it, we urge you to do so. It's magnificent. And of course, Jesus Christ Superstar is opening July 10th and runs to the 28th. And you can find out more about all of these things at www.muhlenberg.edu/SMT or call 484-664-3333. That's easy to remember, I'm sure. So we do thank you. Thank you very much for being with us. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Art Salon. We have been talking with Dr. James Peck, department head of the theater department at Muhlenberg, and, of course, director of Jesus Christ Superstar, and with actors Kennedy Kanagawa and Dan Carey. Coming up now is Kevin Gallagher, a faculty member at Cedar Crest College and teacher, and he's going to chat about something new, relatively new, to the Lehigh Valley.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Arts Academy Charter School, serving students in grades 5 through 8, a tuition-free, arts-enriched public school. Academic curriculum is enriched by classes in dance, figure skating, theater, music, and visual arts. Students have artistic as well as academic instruction each school day. For more information, arts-cs.org.
You are still listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, And we are chatting now with Kevin Gallagher, who is a faculty member at Cedar Crest College. And he's going to talk about a new course that reads like an episode from a Broadway-inspired hit TV series, Smash. Hi, Kevin.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me tonight.
Thank you for being here.
Great.
So this is the Arts and Entertainment Marketing Summer Class.
This is a great combination of business and performing arts all rolled into one.
And this is at Cedar Crest, and it starts July 12th?
It does. We do. It's running in a weekend format. We do a couple of weekends, and then we perform in August. There's still room in the class.
Good. Oh, yes. Okay.
So and it's open to the public to enroll.
It's open to
the
public. Yeah? We're open to high school, college, what we call SAGE students, adult learners, anyone interested in the business aspect or the performing arts aspect of the of the show are welcome to enroll. We encourage them.
Now I think I was aware that Cedar Crest had an arts administration concentration, and would love to know more about that because that was my former role in life. excited to know that. Excited that you're part of that, and this class will extend that. This will be a kind of a workshop laboratory.
This is exactly right. We find business people find the same thing. Any project that you can attach to something experiential. Both works in the classroom. It also works as a resume credit and a life experience. So for the past several years, we've noticed that many of our students end up backstage or in an administration component to an arts organization. So we've developed a concentration within the program that allows students to flow in a more structured fashion. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way to do the business end, the marketing end, the production end, and produce a show.
And students will actually be a part of the creative team actually working with Hollywood professionals. Mm-hmm. And we know them. And, of course, local experts to develop a new production from script to stage.
If you could just quickly, the guest artists, Frank Megna, Dan Laria, Kate Vernon.
Yeah, Frank is the director and one of the co-writers of the production. All three are Hollywood-based,
right.
They have names. You may recognize the name, or you the Wonder
exactly,
Years for those
yes.
of us
Hope
who've been
Laria,
the father. Now, currently, he's in shows. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's a new TV show. I know. Yes,
but he's still out there. So we get the name. These guys have written shows, so what we decided to do was cooperate with them and develop the marketing and production element end of the show. So we're not actually they'll be the performers. They are the talent
for the
actual production. The students become they do the teamwork in developing the marketing strategies and actually marketing graphics and getting the audience working all the production elements, front of house. So it's a great practical experience for them with someone who's a known quantity.
Exactly.
Someone.
And how will the 4 weekends run? So that basically they'll start out, overview what they're dealing with, start to build their campaign, build their marketing.
Yeah, so just like anything else, you're trying to sell or market. You need time between the actual product and your ideas. So the first weekend is theory and teamwork building. And developing group work ethics and discussing systems and strategies. And then the second weekend is beginning to apply them and then actually having the opportunity to send out material because the goal is that you produce the marketing strategy, you send it out there to get an audience to show up. We don't want it just to be those in the class, right? We want to... At the end of the production, we want to be able to say, okay, this worked, this didn't work, we needed more time for that. So we've placed some time in between the weekends, in order to allow for the audience to actually hear what we have to say.
And this will actually culminate in a
public performance in the, let's see, August 10th.
Okay. And if I'm not connected to the school, let's say I'm an adult learner, learning student, I can take an occasional class, and I'm interested, what do I do? Contact?
So if you go to our website, cedarcrest.edu, on the homepage there is a link that has a great picture of Dan Laria, Mr. Laria, And if you click on that, it gives you all of the information about the specifics of the course. And you can enroll, click of a button. There. Everything nowadays is click of a button.
It's really exciting, actually. I mean, I have to say, given our, you know, our experience in theater, it's just wonderful to have artists also or at that learning stage and that age also becoming aware of the business end of it.
Yes. Everyone wants to participate in it. And if you are a singer, dancer, actor, and you go to a call, the chances are at an entry level, you may not get to participate. Experience will this gives you a great opportunity to stay connected with
the field,
with the field and the performance, and then also be involved. So, yeah.
Well, we know now that it begins the first class on July the 12th, Friday from 4 p.m. to 10, and the last class will be August the 10th.
With the performance.
That's our performance.
Yeah, with the performance, yes. So please do. Please contact Cedar Crest. And you can contact SAGE, too, as well, which is actually the School of Adult and Graduate Education. This is a great opportunity for a lot of us here in the Lehigh Valley to really find out the ins and outs of entertainment marketing. So we urge you to do so. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate everything you're doing at Cedar Crest. And this is just another exemplary project. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Man of Steel is the latest makeover in the 75-year history of the ever-evolving Superman. Man of Steel, seen in the 3D IMAX format for this review, is super in every way. Super computer-generated special effects, super action, super chest-pounding loud, and super long. Yes, Superman is supersized. The latest iteration of Superman has the mindset of the post-9/11 United States and works well with the Man of Steel's mission statement, which is to fight and advocate for, quote, truth, justice, and the American way, unquote. Zack Snyder, who directed Watchmen, 300, and Dawn of the Dead, directs Man of Steel from a screenplay by David S. Goyer, who wrote the screenplays Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises, from a story co-written by Christopher Nolan, who directed the Batman series, and Goyer. Snyder, Nolan, and Goyer take Superman in a darker direction, not unlike The Dark Knight and the world of Transformers. In Man of Steel, Metropolis and Smallville get blasted to smithereens from the deadly fire of the United States military and forces from Krypton. Superman is clearly fashioned not as just some guy with supernatural powers in a red cape, who's, quote, faster than a speeding bullet, unquote, and the computer-generated special effects in this department are exhilarating, but he's a messianic figure, and he's perhaps the most famous illegal alien. The Man of Steel story is told in numerous flashbacks interspersed throughout the film, including Superman's rescue of fellow students on a school bus and of drill workers on an ocean oil rig. Scenes between Superman and his Krypton parents, between his Earth parents, and with Lois Lane and other Earthlings are sensitively rendered. Man of Steel has many grace notes, however, you, the moviegoer, and the movie has to plow through a lot of spectacular destruction to get to the fine points. In Man of Steel, the casting is also super. As Kal-El, his Krypton name, Clark Kent, his Earth name, Henry Cavill of TV's The Tudors, fills Superman's bodysuit to a T. No need for computer-generated imagery here. Similarly, Daily Planet now Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Lois Lane is no wallflower or arm candy. Amy Adams is so forthright in her acting style. Michael Shannon as General Zod, Superman's immensely despicable nemesis from Krypton, is, well, immensely despicable. Anjay Trow as Fe'Al, another Kryptonic bad person, is really evil as well. Russell Crowe is an effective choice as Jor-El, Superman's Krypton father. Lawrence Fishburne as Daily Planet editor Perry White is an interesting choice. The supporting but always key roles are filled well by Kevin Costner and Diane Lane as Clark Kent's adoptive parents. Like it or not, Man of Steel epitomizes the Hollywood blockbuster movie-making mentality and sets new standards for summer popcorn movie entertainment. Oh, and by the way, what's that up in the sky? It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Man of Steel 2, already in pre-production. Man of Steel is MPAA rated PG-13 for intense sequences of sci-fi violence, action, and destruction, and for some language. Opening June 28, The Heat. Sandra Bullock teams with Melissa McCarthy in the action comedy directed by Paul Feig, who directed Bridesmaids. It's about two female Boston police officers. It's the female buddy cop movie of the summer. White House Down. Roland Emmerich directs yet another attack on the White House. What, the elections weren't enough? Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx, and Maggie Gyllenhaal star in the action thriller. Redemption. Jason Statham stars as an ex-Special Forces soldier in London's criminal underworld in the action thriller. I'm Paul Wildenstein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.